First John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved. Beloved. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to Christians. Let's get something straight here. He's talking to the beloved, those who are born again. Those are new creature people. People that are born again. He's talking to the beloved. He ain't talking to the sinner. He's talking to Christians here. Beloved, the church. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. Spirits don't have bodies. Spirits are disembodied beings. Spirits are spirits. And it's plural, spirits. So how can I believe something I can't see? How can I believe something I can't look at and touch and feel? How am I going to even worry? Why do I need to worry about that? Why do I need to worry about spirits talking to me, making me believe something wrong? Don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits. Well, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm big and strong and bad, and ain't nobody going to lie to me. He wouldn't put that in there for one reason. Amen. You better be trying the spirits. Then he says, because many false prophets. Now that's a person. That's a people. That's somebody I can hear and see and look at and can talk. That's a person. And he says, false prophets. He's warning the church. There's false prophets in the land. And they've always been around because these spirits are around. These spirits are really old spirits, and they go from generation to generation, and every generation is going to have to deal with this same problem. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. Don't believe these false spirits, these lying spirits. Don't believe them. They will come to you. Christians can be deceived if they don't know the Word of God. They can be deceived. They can follow the wrong spirit. You better try them. Well, how do I try them, God? How do I try the spirits? How can I know? He is getting ready to tell you exactly how you can know the difference in the wrong spirit and the right spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Almighty God. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. There's only one Spirit. And those three are in agreement. The Word and Jesus agree. That's my plumb line. This is how you can try the spirits, the Word of God. Because he says many spirits are gone out into the world. I happen to be a part of the world. I'm not on another planet. I'm not in heaven yet. So this is a warning, a dire warning, a very serious warning. Why do you, if you believe in eternal security, if you believe in eternal security, then why is this such an important warning? Why is it important to live the way God tells you to live according to his word? If I can live any old way I want to be and do any old thing I want to be and do anything I want to do, why do I have to worry about who I listen to? I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I can do anything I want to do, and God will love me, and God will save me, and I'll go to heaven. Why do I have to worry about all that? Okay, I got it. There's spirits out there. Okay, I got that. What's the big deal? I'm going to heaven anyway. What's the big deal? Why do I have to worry about all these lying spirits? Why do I have to worry about lying spirits and false prophets? Why do I have to care about all that? I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I've been born again, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I pray in tongues when I want to, and I go to church, and I do what I need to do for God. But why do I have to worry about listening to lying spirits? Why is there even that? What's that verse even in there for, God? You know, I got this down. There's a reason. You better be careful who you listen to. Going to church can kill you.
Amen.
You go to the wrong church, you might find yourself in hell.
Amen.
Going to the wrong church one day. This once saved and always saved stuff ain't working. So there's a real important reason why the Apostle John said, you got to try the spirits. And really what he's saying, make sure they're right based on the Word of God. Make sure what they're telling you is right based on the Word of God. That's all you got. You got the Holy Spirit, right? Who agree with the Word. You got the Holy Spirit, and he will always tell you only what he hears Jesus say. And Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit words and they are life words. Jesus never lies. Jesus is his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. God is the word. But if you don't read your Bible and you don't know God's word, these lying spirits can work on you and deceive you and lead you down the wrong path. Make you think you're okay when you're not okay. Make you think you're going to heaven when you're not going to go to heaven, even as a Christian. But I'm a Christian. You got the name. I got the badge. Yeah, I got the badge. Don't go running around telling anybody you're a Christian if you're not living it. Do God a favor. He don't need you advertising for him if you are not living it. Don't tell nobody, please, please, for the kingdom of God's sake, don't tell anybody I'm a Christian if you're going to be mean to people and lie to people and cheat people and steal from people and manipulate people and hurt people and make people cry and make people suffer for you. Please do God and the kingdom of God a favor and denounce God and live for the devil, because that's what you're doing if you're not doing what God's word says to do. Do I get an amen? I had to come to grips with this for me. I said, God, I really don't want to tell anybody I'm a Christian because I'm still kind of being mean to people here. Out witnessing somebody one day, I don't want to smack them in the side of the head the next. That is not a good witness, God. And I've done it. You think I've sinned and failed? Oh, yeah. I ain't going to tell nobody else, God. I'm not going to witness to another soul. Point being, if you can't live it, just please, for a while, until you grow up a little bit, let's just keep a low profile, okay? Because you ain't learning how to try the Spirit yet. We got to grow a little bit in this walk with God. We got to learn to grow. Amen. Well, we have to grow. I had to grow. And I'm still growing. I'll be growing till I go into heaven. I believe in heaven, I'll still be growing. Amen. Chapter 4. Don't y'all notice I get like this? I get in a verse and I'll kind of like get stuck there. Because it's so important to get this. Spirits are not people, but spirits can operate through people. That's what he's saying. And you got to be aware of who you are listening to. The spirits can talk to you in your sleep. They can talk to you in dreams. They can talk to you through people. Spirits will get across to you what they want to get across to you any way they want to, any way they can. Amen. You just have to be aware of that. They have a voice, they have a mind, and they have a message. And you better be aware of that. And you better get in some words, so when they do come with the word to you personally, and they do come and tell you something personally, that you will have a defense and a rebuttal. You'll have a wall. You'll say, oh, nah, I don't believe that ain't God. Try the spirits. The reason you try them is because they will pretend to be God. They'll pretend to make you feel like you're okay with God. Try them. Try the spirits. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby, okay, you want to know how you know the difference? And God's talking to you? Hereby, know you the Spirit of God. How you going to know the Spirit of God? Okay, here's how you try them. You have a way to know whether this is God talking to you, really God moving in your life and God leading you in your life and telling you to do something and giving you direction, and you'll have a way to know that. You know how you know that? Here's how you do it. He says, hereby, we can know. Everybody say no. No. We've been talking about knowing things today. I know some stuff. Didn't always know what I know, but and I'll know more next year. I'll know more in 10 years, but I know some things now that help me. Hereby know we, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Here's how you know they're not from God. There's the way you know, and here's the way you don't know. And so here's the way you don't. Here's the way you know they're not from God. Every spirit that confesseth, verse 3, every spirit confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, talking to Christians. You've been born again. You've been filled with God. You know God. God is your Father. Better try the spirits. You're of God, little children. You've overcome them, the spirits. Them is the evil spirits, the Antichrist spirits. The spirits are they know their destiny. Let me tell you a little bit about the demons. They know, those spirits know their destiny. They know they're going to be bound in chains and put in hell forever. Their destiny is a lake of fire for eternity. Remember when Jesus came along and they would cry out and say, have you come before the torment, before the time? There is a time set. They're going to be bound and they're not going to be out running around loose anymore. But until that happens, we better get some understanding about what we're dealing with while we're here. Try the spirits. You're of God, verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a very important verse. If you're born again and you know God is in you, you know you've got the power to deal with any devil. You can't be afraid of no devil. You have to be afraid of any devil ever, ever. Don't want to talk about the devil too much. I don't care. I've done made him so mad so many times at me already. It's a little past worrying about it. I'm past worrying about it. Because I know no matter what he brings into my way, what he brings into my life, God is my defense. The greater one is in me. Because I know how to get out of the way and let God deal with the devil. I know how to deal with the devil. I'm all alone. I'm not alone. I'm not defenseless. Anybody ever went to school and you got somebody comes along and picks on you and you got a big old bruiser of a brother? And you say, let me introduce you to my brother. Oh, you know that I like him or I like her. They won't mess with you. They see your brother. That's the way the devil is. He sees your big brother, Jesus, who died for you, who's already whooped him up. He don't want to mess with Jesus. The greater one is in you. You got a greater one in you. You just need to know that, Christians, little children. You need to know that. Here's how you're going to know. Don't forget verse 2. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. And you also hereby going to know the spirit of the devil. There is a way to know what you're dealing with. The spirits, trying them, trying the spirits. They're of the world, for one thing. Verse 5 says, they're of the world. They're all about the world. Christians and the Holy Spirit and Jesus is all about heaven and the kingdom of God. These spirits all about this world system here. This world system is what they all are about. They're of the world. They think about the world. They think about the stock market. They think about gold. They think about guns. They think about this. They think about that. They think about war. They think about anything to do with the world. Little children like us, believers, think about heaven, power of God, angels, anointings, gifts, power gifts, glory, walking on scorpions and serpents and nothing shall be. That's what I think about. I'm not of this world anymore. I happen to be living here for a moment, but it'll be over. You're not going to be here forever either.
Amen.
I'm not of this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. But these spirits are all about this world system. They're all about it. Okay, here's how you can know them. They're all about the world. They're all about what they can get you, what they can do for you right now. What did the devil do with Jesus? He came to Jesus and took him on a high mountain, wasn't it? Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory and said, I'll give you every one of these because it's mine to give to whoever I want. It's been delivered to me to give to whoever I want. If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you.
Amen.
They're all about the world. They think about all the money, all the glory, all the power, all the prestige, worldly stuff, all about the flesh. They're all about making you powerful and big and strong. I don't like feeling that way. I like being like a little lamb. I like being meek and gentle and kind. I don't like all that world stuff. They're of the world, okay? Now we're trying to find out how do we know the difference in the spirits that's out there in the world working through false prophets, and how are we going to know the difference? For one, they're going to be talking all to you all the time about the world. What's in it for you all the time? How are you going to be happier? How are you going to have a better life? How are you going to have a better home? How are you going to have more stuff? How are you going to be happier here while you're here in the world? Isn't it true?
Sure is.
Think about you. Oh, I got to get a house. I got to get a car. I got to get this. I got to get that. I got to get all the stuff that's in the world. Not even worrying about there's a hell to escape and a heaven to go to and all the people that are going to hell. People of the world don't worry about all that. These devils don't worry about it. They don't think about all that. They're all about the world. They're of the world, so they speak of the world. And the world heareth them speak. You know, it's easy for a devil to deceive a sinner because they're already deceived. But see, we're not of the world. We've been brought out of the world. But see, the world can still be on some of us. And we can still be deceived. We got to be knowing that we can still be deceived. We got to realize that. Your soul didn't get saved, by the way. Your spirit man got born again. You became a new creature in your spirit. But your soul still didn't get saved. You got to renew your mind. You got to get saved in your soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions. You got to start thinking right, believing right, talking right. Dot, dot, dot. That's how it works. Dot, dot, dot. Start thinking right, talking right, and then you're going to believe right. Just see the dots. Connect the dots in your being. Dot, dot, dot. Your mouth is connected to your spirit. Your mouth is connected to your brain. You start thinking a thought, and next thing you know, poor woe is me, I got a bad thought, and I start talking bad, and next thing you know, your emotions will be affected, and then you'll start believing the bad. And you can reverse all that. I won't go into all that. Get some of these CDs I've got. There are some good messages out here.
Amen.
You're of God. You're God. This is just, mark this down. You are of God. Verse 6. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Remember, we're still trying to try the spirits. We're trying to know hereby we are of God. Hereby you can know. For one thing, are you hearing God? Are you really hearing God? Are you really following God? Hearing God is not just like, oh yeah, I come to church, hear a good message, and I can say amen and walk out the door. That's not hearing God. Hearing God is living for God. Hearing God is living it. If you hear it, you live it. If you're really hearing it, you're going to do it. If you're not doing it, you're not hearing it. Hearing equals doing. Hearing equals doing. Don't tell me that you're a Christian and you're not doing what the Word of God says, because you're not a Christian. And you're not going to heaven. It's the ones who do the will of God that are going to heaven. Christians go to heaven. Christians don't hear the world. Christians don't follow the spirits. Christians follow the Holy Spirit. They hear the Word of God. They sell out, basically, to God, to God's way. They're of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We're of God, verse 6, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now I'm getting ready to really lay it on you. This is so complicated, you know. This is so hard. Living for God is so hard. So complicated. Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Spirit of error. There's only two. There's not a bunch in between. There's only two. Two voices. Spirit of truth, spirit of error. Which one are you hearing is the one you're living? Okay. Here it comes at you right here. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. Love is the hallmark of the believer. Love is not the hallmark of the devil. Love is the hallmark of God.
Amen.
God is love. God's love. It's such a level of love. It's such a huge level of love that you can't attain it. You can't understand it. You can't comprehend it. It has to be revealed to you. The love of God has to be revealed to you. But the Word of God says in Romans that the love of God has been revealed. It's been shed abroad in your heart. When you got born again, you got the love of God imparted into you. So it's in you. Love is in you. Love of God, mark this down. If you're a believer and you know you're going to heaven, You have the love of God imparted when you got born again. The Holy Spirit brought the love with him. Holy Ghost and God are equal. God is love. Holy Ghost is love. Jesus is love. Those three are one. So you could, just as, I'm not speaking error when I say Jesus is love. I'm not speaking error when I say Holy Ghost is love, because those three are in total agreement and they're one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if you accepted Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit is in you now, you have love in you now. Agape, God love is in you now. God's love is in you. You may not always love with it. You may not use it, but it's in you. Believers have love, the ability to love like God in them. Isn't that exciting? You got the ability to love just like God loves. And look at the rest of that verse. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Everyone that loveth. Verse 7. Everyone loveth. See, that is the greatest sign that you've been born again, is that you start loving people in a way you never loved people before. When I accepted Jesus and that love of God came into my spirit, I started loving people. Crazy things started happening to me. I didn't care what color you were. I didn't care. I just didn't care.
Amen.
I didn't care if you was mean to me. I didn't care if you cussed me. I didn't care if you pulled my hair out. I didn't care if you threw me against the wall. I didn't care what you did. You couldn't make me stop loving you. And you couldn't make me stop praying for you. I mean, you just couldn't. And you still can't. Because it's not me loving you anymore. I've allowed something called agape, the love that God has put in me to work through me. See, let me take you to Galatians. Let me take you to Galatians. I'm going to be about 10 more minutes. Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Y'all feel like you've been to church today? I've been to church today. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We were talking about hereby we can know. Hereby we can know the spirits we're dealing with, right? We're talking about two kinds of knowing. I mean, not two kinds of knowing, but two kinds of spirits, two types of voices. The Spirit of God or the Spirit of Antichrist. The Spirit of Antichrist is of the world, and it has a voice. And there's the Spirit of God, and God definitely has a voice. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to start reading with, let's go to verse 22. Verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now I want you to take that word Spirit and I want you to see, I want you to put your name in there. Because this is not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is talking about your spirit. I never heard that preached before. And I'm giving you a truth that will really help you, free you, help you develop. Do you not know you're supposed to be bearing fruit with the help of the Holy Spirit? See, we just think God wants to come in us and do everything. God wants to shape you up and make you live right. So if you don't live right, it's God's fault. We don't want to be responsible for living right. But it's your human spirit that has to bear fruit. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches." Where is fruit born? Where, who bears fruit? The branch bears fruit. You have to be a branch attached to the vine, or you're not going to be bearing no fruit. And the fruit that the Holy Spirit will help you bear are these listed here. It's not about being a good person anymore. It's about being fruitful with the help of God's Word and the help of the Holy Spirit. You can be fruitful. How many of y'all like peace? You know, you can bear the fruit of peace. How many of y'all like joy? Joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is just joy. That's a fruit. And you know, you can bear fruit of joy. How would y'all like to have a big old basket full of fruit of joy living in you and producing it every day? How'd you like to be able to produce some fruit out of your human spirit? You're a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body, but your spirit can bear these things. Produce them. Fruit is productive. I wouldn't give you much for a yard full of trees that didn't bear any fruit. I got apple trees. I don't want them, just not cut them down. They just nasty old messy trees. There's not an ounce of fruit on them. I can't go out there and get an apple. I can't go out there and get a pear. You put fruit trees in your yard usually to have fruit. God is expecting us to bear some fruit, and He tells you how to do it. Doesn't He? Do you know that's why He cursed the fig tree? Because He went looking for some fruit on it. And it didn't bear any fruit, did it? Christians have never been taught how to bear fruit. They think the Holy Ghost has got to do all the work. It's your human spirit that produces the fruit. So let's read this verse now, these verses, knowing this is talking about your spirit. You, your spirit. Your spirit. You. You are the one that is going to produce these things. The fruit of the Spirit is love with the help of the Holy Spirit, because when you got born again, the Holy Ghost was entered in, you became a new creature, and the Holy Ghost and the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is in you to help you, but it's the Word attached to the vine. It's the juices that flow through the vine that gets through the branches that helps produce the fruit. It's the life is in the vine. Jesus is the one who gives you that life, and it gets into you through His Word. Then you become fruit bearers, become fruitful through the Word that's working in you. It's the Word that you believe that bears fruit. This is really important. This is so important this morning. Love of God. Number one fruit you better be bearing is love of God. Love of God is the first fruit. That as this Jesus said, people will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. You're good to your brothers and sisters. You prefer them above yourself. You go out of your way for your brother or sister. Jesus died for that one. You don't talk about them. You help them. Go out of your way for them. Because you better, that's being fruitful in your spirit, man. Loving God. Loving people. It's a byproduct. It's a fruit product. The product of God in you bearing fruit. Lord of mercy, God help me. The fruit of the Spirit. This is your human spirit He's talking about here. The fruit of the Spirit. Why do I think that that's true? Why do I know that's true? Let me show you why I know it's true. Because there's continuity in Scripture. Go back and look at the verse. Go back and look at the verse 19. Of chapter, the same chapter, verse 19, chapter 5, 19. See, the Spirit doesn't do works. Your human spirit doesn't produce works. Your human spirit produces fruit. But your flesh does works. And He gives you the comparison of your flesh and your human spirit. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a body. And so the body does works. And these are the works. He's giving you a list of the works. So He's talking about the difference in this flesh, your flesh, and your spirit. It's exciting when you start seeing it right, isn't it? Because it's frustrating when you're trying to get God to always make you happy. It's frustrating always trying to make God make you love because you don't love. It's just not natural to love people who are mean to you and cheating on you, lying to you, and stealing from you. It's just not natural. But you can't do it in your flesh. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Your human spirit bears these things, these fruits of the Spirit. I tell you what, I have experienced love. It constrains me. The love of God constraineth me. I'm wrapped up in it. I'm tied up in it. I'm controlled with it. It makes me do what I do. Love kept Jesus on the cross and made him do what he did. Because he is love. So the works of the flesh, I think every one of us know this, but let's just talk about it a minute. The works of the flesh, verse 19, well, they're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Ain't no love listed here. Not an ounce of love in this list, is there? Your flesh doesn't work love. Your flesh works hatred. Your flesh works anger. Your flesh works heresies. Let's go on. Your flesh works envying. It works murders. It works drunkenness. It works envyings. It works such likes. And look at the warning. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. If that don't wake you up, nothing will. So it's time that Christians understand that there are works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Your human spirit can now be full of fruit. You can be a fruitful vine. You can be a fruitful branch in the kingdom of God. You can love people, crazy love. Oh my goodness, when God starts loving, you start producing this love of this fruit of love, you will do crazy things. Because now it's not about you anymore. You just love them. And it's not a family love. You know, you're good to your family. I'm talking, you're good to people who's not even good to you. You go out of your way for people who don't even like you. Because this fruit of love is so real. It's fruit. It's fruit. Come and pick some of my fruit here. I got fruit. I got joy. I got peace. I got long suffering. I put up with stuff. Because it's a fruit I bear. Your human spirit is your dynamo. That's the real you. Most people don't know a thing about producing an ounce of spiritual fruit of their human spirit. But I want to help people understand living for God is wonderful. It's wonderful to know you're going to heaven and to be careful what you listen to. What spirit are you following? You got to try those spirits. If they're not about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, then you better get away from them spirits. You better turn them off. And run for your life. Because they will make you produce the works of the flesh. They're all about the world. They're all about the world. You'll be doing works of the flesh and you won't be following the fruit. You won't be growing any fruit. Producing no fruit. And we don't want to go there. Because the Lord said in chapter St. John, you read St. John chapter 15. He said, except you abide in me and I abide in you, you won't bear any fruit. But if you do abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to bear much fruit. And he says, if you don't, he's going to cut you down and you'll be cast into the fire. Hell is real. You won't be going to heaven if you don't learn how to do some of these fruit-bearing things in the Spirit. Father, I just seal this word today. I don't see, Father, how you can make this any clearer than what you have today. I don't see how, Father God, you can make it any clearer. And I thank you for your word today that went forth, and it will not return void. So Holy Spirit, whoever's here who does not know you, who has been living after their flesh, their old stinky, filthy flesh, doing the works of their flesh, not abiding in the vine, not producing an ounce of fruit, anybody in here like that, you need to come up and get prayed for. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. If you're a Christian and you ain't been bearing any fruit and you don't know anything about that, out of your human spirit, and you've been working out of your flesh, you need to repent and say, God, forgive me. John 1:9. But if you're a sinner and you ain't never been redeemed, you need to get redeemed. Sinners get redeemed, Christians get forgiven. God wants to forgive you. God wants to heal you. God wants to help you bear fruit. God wants you to be fruitful in these last days. Do him a favor and don't tell nobody you're a Christian if you're not bearing fruit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just seal this word today. And I thank you, God, that if there's any lost in here, Father, they're going to come to repentance. They're going to be redeemed today. I call them out. I claim them for the kingdom. I call them born again, redeemed. I mark them for the kingdom. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.